Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm a horrible human being.
Oh, goody. Look who's back.
Yes, that is us. We are here on a Monday at 12:03. Chad Hartman, Shaletta Brundage, Adam Carter is finally in Spain. I will give you a quick update on young Mr. Carter, because it was last week, Shaletta. First of all, on Wednesday, we learned that his mom, Cheryl, had tried to fly to Spain three times before, and she went 0-for-3, including one time she was in the air, and the Spanish air traffic controllers, while she was in the air, went on strike. On strike in the air. I mean, they're going to go on strike at some point. I guess at all points, there are thousands, tens of thousands of planes in the air. So then Adam gets out on Thursday to the airport and finds out his flight is canceled. Now, the CCO Lister flight was fine. It was Uncle Mr. Greedy who decided with his gal and Cheryl and Jen's parents to also go to London, la-di-da, on the way back. So they were taking a different flight.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, like for most of us, you know, Spain would be not, but not Mr. Fancy Pants. He had to also go to London. And so plane, flight canceled, and it turns out the CCO listener trip, there were a number of open seats available. So he was pleased about that. He was back with us on Friday, and then you can't make this up on Saturday. I get a vicious text from him saying, you're not going to make this up. Our flight has been canceled again. I'm not kidding.
I saw that he took off.
No, he took off on a different flight.
I didn't know that.
His initial flight on Saturday was canceled.
Wow.
At that point, I text him, tell your mom to go home. She has been 0-for-3 on flying. You now have had two flights canceled, and they couldn't get you out later Thursday and Friday. Send her home. But he ended up getting out, and now he is there. And I think he's planning on staying there 10 years now that he's there.
I was going to say, by the time he gets there, he's just going to have to get a dual citizenship.
Yep.
He needs a vacation from the vacation, Laura.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So he's posting numerous pictures on Facebook. We'll link up with some of those throughout his trip. And you can follow him, too, on Twitter at AC830. Okay. The two major stories we will cover today. The president of the United States will be in our state. Do we know the ETA? I know he took off in the hour. When is he expected to land?
Within the hour. Yeah.
Shaletta is telling me right now that there is a strong chance he's going to call us on the phone, and we're going to have him on. Mm. But here's the deal. If he calls when Van Sickle's on and we're talking Tiger, I'm bumping him. Because if my choice is talk Tiger in the 15th major or talk to Donald, I'm all in on Tiger. But if the president wants to call in another time, we'd love to have him on the air. We'd go to Burnsville. We'll do the show mobile. If he wants to stop by on the way back, he can come down here, raise some money, and come on in. So if you can help us get the president on the show, that'd be great. Gary Van Sickle is going to join us at 12:35. We're going to talk about a distinct change from Morehouse College and how other colleges are approaching this change. Keith Ellison, the attorney general, is going to join us at 2:35, many other topics. But I put this up on Facebook, and we promoted it all weekend. I want to get to it right when we come back after the news. If you were fortunate enough to meet with the president, you may be a supporter, you may detest him, you may love him, you may hate him, you may be objective, whatever it might be. If you had the opportunity to ask the president one question. You are with the president of the United States. We've only had 45. This could be a two-term president. He could be done in 2 years, but it is still an enormous situation when the president comes to your state. And if you had a chance to meet him and he said, ask me anything you want, what is the one question you would ask the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump? You can go on Facebook and respond, facebook.com/Chad Hartman Show. You can send us a text at 81807 or a very good phone call, 651-989-9226. Here's Laura Oakes with the news update. Among the best texts, Shaletta, circling back to Mr. Carter in Barcelona now, I believe. Is it possible he had passport issues because he's confused where there's Alan Carter or Adam Carter? I expect that it's very funny.
I don't want to laugh at my poor friend, but that was funny.
And also, I forgot to mention another part. His gal, and he's overachieving with his gal, Jen, she's a great person. When they got bumped to a different flight, at first, she was not bumped to that flight. You can't even make. So at one point, it looked like, so they miss, they get lost on that flight, they get another one, and then Jen, for about 15 minutes, technically, wasn't on that flight. Okay, a lot of people responding through Facebook and through text. If you had the opportunity to sit down with the president, but you could ask him only one question, what question would it be? So I'll go first. Now that we have the news in the last hour that the Mueller report will be released. Now, this will be a redacted Mueller report, and we don't know. Well, listen, we do know this, that the Democrats are not going to agree with parts of the redactions, right? To what level, we don't know, but on grand jury information, on classified information, William Barr, the attorney general, along with his staff, they have been going through this since they received the Mueller report over a month ago. And they've said this is about the time. And it, I'm sorry, I'm battling this cough here. It will come out on the 18th. Okay. So I would ask the president, you continue to say on an almost daily basis that the Mueller report was total exoneration. But, sir, I read from what your attorney general wrote in the summary, a man you've been praising a great deal. The special counsel did not draw a conclusion one way or the other as to whether the examined conduct constituted obstruction. The special counsel states, while this report does not conclude that the president committed a crime, it also does not exonerate him. So that is very clear, Mr. President. It says you are not exonerated. It also says you didn't commit a crime, right? But why do you continue to say that? And that would say, I would also add this. So I guess I'm cheating a little bit on two questions, but I think it's germane here to the same topic. You won the election. You pulled off one of the great political upsets of all time. You deserve credit for that. But let's play out a scenario. Hillary Rodham Clinton is the president. And her number two at the attorney general's office decides that the disappearing 33,000 emails need to be investigated, something you've called for many, many times as a candidate, as president. And now we're assuming you continue to call for that as a private citizen. This report is then put together, the special counsel, by a well-respected individual, one you respect. But then the report is turned over to Hillary Clinton's attorney general, Hillary Clinton's deputy attorney general, two people she hired. And they come out, and let's just, again, shoe on the other foot. They say, Hillary comes out of this saying total exoneration. But we haven't seen it. Why should we believe that you as a private citizen would accept that? Because on that one, we know there's no chance. We know there is no chance. My opinion on Robert Mueller has not changed. Not an inkling. Robert Mueller is a patriot. He served our country remarkably well, and he put together a great group, and they offered up a voluminous report. And I don't think every single inkling can come out. I think there needs to be some protections. I don't think we should personally have a special counsel where that special counsel reports to the president. I get the concern from the Starr report that it turned too salacious, that it went so many different ways and they tried to do this a different way. But whether it's Donald Trump or the next president or the next president or the next president or the next president, okay, if an investigation takes place of this significance involving that president, how in the hell do we think it's independent if the president, whether it's Hillary Clinton, whether it's Bernie Sanders or it's Donald Trump Jr., and it's partially about him or her and it's of significance, and the people who are deciding are people the president appointed? As partisan as we are, years and years ago, that would have still had credibility. Right now, it doesn't. So that's what I would ask. Shaletta, have you thought about this? If you could ask the president a single question, what would it be?
Can you tone down the rhetoric?
Can you tone down the rhetoric? Yep. A lot of people feel that way, right?
Yeah. That's it. Can you just tone it down? I mean, you can't take it all the way down. It's just, you know, part of who you are. But can you just tone it down a little bit? How about being just a little bit nicer to the press corps? I don't think he probably would go for that.
No, I don't think so. I would love to have more of, because I know one of the texts has come in, excuse me, are you a uniter or a divider? Uh-huh. And the president clearly is a divider.
Yeah.
There's just no escaping that. And many of his supporters love that because he is brazen. He's not a classic politician who's so worried about saying the wrong things. And we need more uniters. And Barack Obama, to me, did not unite nearly as much as I thought he would. I still think the former president kind of tried to fly over Washington, D.C. too much, in my opinion, as opposed to jumping in the fray more and more. But the president, as always, runs as a candidate. Even as president, he is always dictated towards his crowd as much as any candidate I've ever seen. And I might put him in a position to be a two-term president. So it might work, but he is way more of a divider than he is a uniter. Okay, I'm going to stop talking here. We're going to have 7-8 minutes when I come back to give you plenty of examples of what people have said through Facebook and through texts and phone calls. If you had one opportunity today for 5 minutes, let's say, or maybe it's 10 minutes, and you could ask the president one question, what would it be? It is 22 past 12. That is the Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to lower your energy bills with a free home energy audit. Okay, let's get right to it. I've told Shaletta when I arrive at the station, I would like this music played for me every single time. That seems like a reasonable request, don't you think?
Yeah, sure.
Yes, and salute. All right. If you had a chance to ask the president one question, what would your question be? CJ is calling in. Go ahead, CJ. Hello, CJ. All right, CJ is back on hold. Sheldon, go ahead, Sheldon. You're on WCCO.
All the love and respect I can muster for the office, I would ask the president why he lies so much.
Do you have any theory?
Do I have any theory?
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, he might be mentally ill. I don't know.
I think it's a part of an extension of how he operated in New York and with business dealings and branding, and doesn't think he should act any other way. I think it's a fair question, though. CJ, go ahead. We've got you now.
Hey, Ted. How are you? Big fan.
Thank you so much. I'm doing well.
Great. So I guess my question would somewhat depend on whether or not we're under the premise that we're going to get an honest answer.
Yeah, that's a huge part of it.
Because that would make a difference to what kind of question I'm going to ask. But assuming that we get an honest answer, I would want to know if, the day that he announced he was running, did he actually think he was going to win, or did he want to win, or was he just trying to increase his brand and get his name out there and increase, you know, ratings for The Apprentice?
I think that's a very good question, and you hear people who are convinced, who know the president, who think it was just the branding idea, who said, listen, I've talked about this forever. Let me do this. I'll get my name out there further. It'll be fun. But and then I'll back away and move on. So I'm inclined to say no, but I think you raise a huge caveat. If we know the president is going to tell the truth, because to me he just bumps into the truth occasionally, I think that's a very valid question. CJ, thanks for calling in. Call in another time.
Thanks, Ted.
Thank you, sir. Let's get to plenty of the texts. Why can't you condemn the David Dukes of the world or other white nationalists? Question to the president. What was it like to help Kevin McAllister when he was in Home Alone in New York City? I'd ask what medication he takes. Let me just set this here. Okay. Let's see. Is it okay for politicians to lie to the American public no matter the topic? Why won't you release your taxes? I would ask Trump where the 10% tax cuts for the middle class are that he talked about during the midterms. Was that just a number of the thousands of lies? Question for Trump, actual weight or his real golf handicap? I'd ask Trump this question. Why have you not released your tax returns whenever the president before has done it? I would ask the president if he'd be willing to cut all government departments by 10%. There's a number of texts about what takes place in the president's bed. I'm going to skip those. Why do you enjoy fighting with dead people?
Oh.
The Washington Post says you lie almost 10,000 times since you became president. Why do you do that? Please do not lie again. Mr. President, can you please balance the budget? I'm 54 years of age, and for the first time in my life, I would not cross the street to talk to the president of the United States. What's with the hair? Mr. President, your opinion, are you a uniter or divider, the one I mentioned before? If you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? This is the Barbara Walters question from a long time. Chad, it doesn't matter what question you'd ask, because you would never get an honest response. There's another one that is praising the president. Basically, here we go. I would tell the president, thank you for standing up for America. No need to ask questions. He has everything under control. We will never get another president like him again. I agree with the last sentence. We will never get a president like him again. Among the Facebook comments, when will the U.S. get out of Afghanistan? I would ask him why he hates the middle class and poor people. Another Facebook comment, facebook.com/Chad Hartman Show. What happened on 9/11? The truth. Numerous exclamation points. Inside job. Now, the president believes in a lot of conspiracies, so he possibly would go there. This one. Would you be willing to play 18 holes at Augusta with a rules official, a camera, and a scorecard? I would so love to see that. Because among the areas he lies about is golf. On what day this month of April 2019 will you, at real Donald Trump, be resigning? What drugs are you on? I'd ask him what it's like being the greatest president this country has ever had in modern times. I'd love to ask him why his sister resigned instead of facing an investigation into tax fraud involving their family business. Okay, we're going to get back to this again because I think it's very germane when the president is in this state on April 15th. This state is in play. It was a 1.5 point difference, right? 1.5% difference between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And obviously a lot of people in our audience listen to Wisconsin, and Wisconsin went to the president. He's not here just because, hey, the flights were easy to get here. I think he's got a pretty good flight. He is here on tax day to tout what he calls the greatest economy this country has ever had, when demonstrably that is not true, by the way. Also, he is here to continue his onslaught of criticism towards Representative Ilhan Omar. We'll continue to follow the president. He is expected to arrive in the state within the next 30 to 45 minutes. We'll provide you some coverage, and we'll get back to this topic later. Tiger Woods is back. He's been back contending. We know that. He almost won the British Open. He had the lead as he teed off the back nine. He came very close to winning the PGA. He won the Tour Championship. He was one of the favorites. So it's not like he was invisible. But the last 10 years have been a remarkable roller coaster ride, physically, personally, professionally. And he wins his fifth Masters, his 15th major yesterday. A man has joined me for over a couple decades talking golf, Gary Van Sickle, in moments. All right, we'll let you know a significant story that has been breaking here the last 10 minutes or so. In Paris, Notre Dame Cathedral is on fire. It is definitely a significant fire. You're seeing all the cable networks taking a look at that. So we will continue to follow that and provide you all information. CBS News at the top of the hour. This man's joined me for multiple decades. He is a great golf writer. He's a great read. He's a great follow on Twitter. He's now with Morning Read. Gary Van Sickle is with us. I was chuckling listening to Gary's off-air conversation with Shaletta. I had the feeling they'd just rather talk the two of them than come on the air and talk with me. Shaletta?
Yeah. Huh? What?
Yeah, it sounded like you guys are having a lot of fun.
He's dropping nosy Rosie.
Yeah, exactly. all right, sir. Yesterday was obviously a remarkable day for many, many reasons. Give me the number one aspect that stands out most to you 24 hours after the man won his 15th major.
Well, the obvious understatement is that Tiger is back, and since Tiger Woods was the game of golf from 1997 to about 2013-2014, that's a pretty stunning achievement. And I think the main thing is anybody who was 18 years old right now, 20 years old, they missed Tiger the first time around. They missed Tiger Mania. They
yep.
missed Tiger Mania 2.0. So now we're going to have a Tiger Mania 3.0, and everyone's hysterical about it. It's the media is just falling down all over themselves because, oh, my God, if Tiger's back, we might be able to sell enough newspapers and magazines to stay in business for maybe another year now.
Yes.
So it's, you know, it's like this. I wrote something about that for Sunday's Morning Read, and I said, the media has a vested interest. I could just picture if Tiger wins, he's on 18, he's got this putt for the win, and to save my pension, it's good.
Yes.
And that's kind of what happened.
Yeah, the golf business as a whole would be very, very happy about it. Okay, I'm trying to remember how many times either leading up to it or afterwards, the two of us talked about a Tiger victory and said he played under control. He played smart. He didn't make any mistakes. And he watched for whether it was Mickelson or Goosen or Singh or Els or whomever it might be, whether they completely melted down or they just didn't have the ability to stay with him. And then there was this theory that when he came back this time, that these new individuals who didn't have the scar tissue that all those other guys would have, they would not wilt. Well, when four guys, the main four guys, all hit it in the water on 12, maybe the greatest par three on the planet, to me it looked like, here we go again. This looks like one of the seven or eight majors he won before when he just was rock solid and waited for the other guys just to screw up.
That's pretty much true. I don't think these guys wilted this time because they were afraid of Tiger Woods. These guys wilted this time because a lot of them hadn't been in the Masters compression chamber before. And, you know, 12 is a weird thing. You know, Tiger got a huge break there. You know, when I was at Sports Illustrated a few years ago, we commissioned a couple of scientists to do a big study. They built a scale model of Amen Corner and all the hits from sceneries and all the stuff around there.
Yep.
And what they found out was a lot of the times the wind direction there is downward, not east, not west. It comes over the hill from Augusta Country Club behind the 12th green, and it comes down. So Tiger is on the 11th green. He sees Brooks Koepka make a pretty good swing. Brooks wasn't upset. The wind knocks it down and goes to Rays Creek, and he makes double. Biggest break Tiger got was they get in the 12th tee. Francesco Molinari has a tee. You know how it is. The first guy in a group's got a tee in a par three hole on a windy day when there's water.
Oh, yeah.
You never want to be that guy.
Correct.
Molinari hit what looked to be a pretty good shot. The wind knocked it down. So then Tiger's up. Now he knows something's going on with the wind, and he's going to play safe. And that's what he did. And the other difference about Tiger, you know, Koepka's the guy who should have won this one, because I would say Koepka is the best player in golf, pretty much. You know, Tom Watson, somebody asked Tom Watson during the par three tournament or afterwards, asked him which all these young guys, which any of them do you think is a real deal? And he said, oh, yeah, one guy, Koepka. But so Koepka's problem was he goes to 16, you know, with that pin. We saw Tiger hit the shot, little draw in there. It goes down the hill. Koepka doesn't hit a draw. He hits a fade because he can't hit a draw, I guess. He's one-dimensional, and he hits a fade, and it spins and stays up in that slope and doesn't go on. And so he's lucky to make par, but that should have been a birdie hole. He didn't have the shots. Tiger, if you go back to Hank Haney's books, he still got the shots, nine directions. He's the best iron player. He can work the ball any direction, any height, with any club, and that gives him the edge to make up, to beat these guys who, you know, just they don't have as many skills as he does.
No. You always said it in our conversations, when the shot is there and he has to hit the shot, it's not a matter of, well, this is my shot, I got to go with it. He will hit the shot that he has to, and he did that numerous times yesterday. So now he has four all-timers. He has his first ever 97 when he wins by 12, and he's African-American and the historical significance of that. In 2000, when he plays golf better than most of us have ever seen at Pebble, when he wins by 15. He has 08 when he wins on a broken leg, and he has this one now, the recovery. 50 years from now, when the golf historians are looking back at the career, and they look, and who knows, maybe there's another one that stands out. When they look at these four, which one of these four do you think will stand out the most?
Well, I think you can immediately eliminate Torrey Pines because he had to go to a playoff to beat a guy named Rocco. So that's out.
Yeah.
That one's out. I mean, you can just throw that one away right now. Well, I'm going to give you two answers because I think right now, and in my opinion right now, the biggest event, the biggest win he's ever had was this one because all he's been through and you didn't think he could play and he wins the Masters. I mean, and he had two chances last year where you could see his game was coming together.
Yep.
I think it was this one. But historians are going to look back and they'll point to Pebble Beach and say, look at what he shot here. But I think, you know, you go back to the 97 Masters, he came out and made Augusta National look like a pitch and putt course.
Yep.
The only time he hit a 5-iron or 4-iron was to go for a par 5 and 2. A par was 68 for him back in 97, and they had to change the golf course. So I think in the long term, that's the one where this guy exploded on the scene and completely changed the game. And he had 3 or 4 or 5 years there where he hit it 40 yards past everybody.
Yeah, that's the one for me, too. But
from an excitement standpoint, I mean, it was over. It was over on the second round. It was like,
yeah, how much?
There's nothing interesting about the last round. Nobody sits around and watches the replay of the last round of 1997.
Fair.
Because, you know, Tom Kite is winning the B flight.
Yes.
It wasn't interesting whatsoever. So, to me, that's as incredible as it was at the time and the importance of all that. It wasn't that exciting. And the same goes for Pebble. It was incredible golf. It wasn't much of a tournament. This was a shootout at the OK Corral with, I don't know, I lost track of how many guys could have won. Patrick Cantlay at some point had a shared lead. And you
right.
thought, hey, this guy's good. this guy came out of nowhere and is going to win it. Oh, no, there he goes.
Yeah, Bubba Watson all of a sudden.
Yeah.
A little.
Xander Schauffele.
Yep.
Who didn't have a chance to win this? You know, Rocco Mediate. That's about the only one. Everybody else, and Dustin Johnson sneak in and had a backdoor runner-up finish. So I think this one, from a fan standpoint, was the most interesting and most exciting and most compelling in the whole comeback story. But I think history is going to look back and say probably 97.
A couple more moments here with Gary Van Sickle from Morning Read. So forever, from 86 on, most of us have said for Pier Theater, because of Jack, because of everything, that is the Sunday afternoon we all will remember. Jack had not won a major since 80. Now, he came close in 82 and 83. He had won a tournament in 84, but at the time, I think he was like 32nd, 33rd in the world. And when he gets to the back nine, he's four back, and he's four back as Seve and Norman and Kite, and he fires 30 and wins. For Pier Theater, was 86 with Jack more gripping and compelling than yesterday, or was yesterday better?
No, Jack was better. For one thing, the senior tour wasn't that advanced, and at the time, a guy who was 46, I mean, that's like dead. That's like almost dead. He's got one foot in the grave. He's 46. It's yep. Over. We had no idea that athletes could compete for longer. You know, that's all changed now. And Jack had fallen out of, you know, it was like he was basically retired. He was out of golf. He wasn't even a thought. And then everybody loved Jack because he was the greatest player of all time at the time. And he came really out of nowhere to win that. You know, Tiger didn't come out of nowhere.
No.
He could have won the Open at Carnoustie.
Sure.
And he would have won at Belrive if Brooks Koepka is my quote of the year. I love it. He said, "I enjoy stopping history." That's another reason to like Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, I agree.
That I enjoy stopping history.
Yeah, that's
He's
great.
A Tiger fan, but I enjoy stopping history.
Sure.
So Jack, there was so much more going on, and he wore the yellow shirt for the kid who died when you know 20 years earlier, and which was a story none of us heard until 25 years later.
Yep. Right.
So, in that tournament, you know, Tom Kite and Greg Norman could have tied him, could have gotten a playoff. Tiger, all of a sudden, this was exciting as heck, and then all of a sudden, birdie's 15 to 16, and you're like, oh, he's two ahead. It's over unless Koepka birdies the last two. I mean, it was incredibly compelling for 16 holes, and then all of a sudden, it was like a
celebration.
You know, a balloon popped.
Yep.
And it was like, oh, what happened to the? It's over.
Yep. I'm with you 100%.
I think Jack shot 30. It was down to the last shot. I mean, Greg Norman could what? He could have birdied to tie, and of course he blocked it right of, you know, the foul line. I mean,
he could have birdied to win. Remember, because he
was, you know, that what it was?
Yeah, birdied to win.
If he birdied to win and he blocked, then he makes bogey to lose.
He made bogey because he flailed it like 40 yards right.
Yeah,
he hit a fairly good shot from 40 yards right. Had about a 15 footer and didn't come close to making it.
Tom Kite had the great quote. He missed his putt, 18 footer, 15 footer, and he said, "I made the putt. It just didn't go in."
Yeah, right.
As only Tom Kite, who I know you believe that, but that's the way he was.
Yes. All right, about 90 seconds left here, and then I got to go. What's next for the young man? Okay, he's 43. From the middle last year, he's been one of the 10 best players in the game. This wasn't a fluke. We can go down the road of Bethpage, he's won, Pebble, he's won. And all of it's with the caveat of his health, but what do you think comes up now in the next few months, next few years?
That's a good question. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to pace himself, not play much. You know, I wrote a story in Sunday morning's Morning Read. If you happen to see it, I said the whole premise of the story was, what if Tiger wins tomorrow?
Yeah.
It's something to think about. In fact, I can't quit thinking about it. And, you know, the knee-jerk reaction is going to be, Tiger's back. Oh, it's PGA's at Bethpage. Well, he's won there, so he'll win that.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. Open's at Pebble. He's won there, so he'll win that. So now he's at 17. It's like, well, if he goes to the British Open at Royal Portrush, he could win that and tie Jack. Oh, yeah, that would also be the Grand Slam. So what I expect is everyone's expectations to get completely out of whack.
Correct.
So I I think he's going to have some high finishes, but he's got a bunch of guys who are tough to beat now. Brooks Koepka, Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy's still out there somewhere. Get him on a course where he didn't have to, you know, a little flatter greens. I think he's got tougher competition now, so it's not going to be a cakewalk, but I think we got to expect that he's going to win another major here, if not, maybe not this year, but in the next few years, he's going to keep doing this. He's going to keep being Tiger.
Keep reading this man's work, morningread.com, and follow him on Twitter, at Gary Van Sickle. Thank you, sir. We'll talk soon.
All right, thank you, Chad.
Gary with us. It's 12:53. Again, a significant fire in Paris. Notre Dame Cathedral on fire. A CBS update in 6 minutes. The president has landed. We continue to provide you coverage of the president's visit here to Burnsville. We'll get back to it in the 2 o'clock hour because we talked about it a fair amount in the first half hour. If you could ask the president one question, what would that be? A large response through text and Facebook. Continue to let us know if you could ask the president that single question, what would it be? 81807 or facebook.com/Chad Hartman Show. This is an enormous fire involving the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. The reports I am seeing at this particular time, the cause at this point not immediately clear. You have renovation work taking place right now, significant renovation work. You had the Catholic Church last year launching an urgent appeal for funds to save the cathedral, which leaders were saying was starting to crumble significantly, and they needed significant funds to update this legendary and historic landmark in Paris and tied to the Catholic faith. The mayor and others describing it as a terrible fire. Any of the footage you're seeing, like Shaletta, just look over there, the overall just crowd shot of the Paris landscape and the amount of smoke coming out is stunning. They're telling people to stay away from the area. CBS will have more, and we'll continue to follow it here.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.